Good morning. Happy Father's Day to all you fathers, mentors, men out there, soon to be fathers one day, not too soon, hopefully in my family. But happy Father's Day to you. I hope you guys got some bacon and sausage. Big thank you to Brenda for cooking that all that up. That is for everybody, all right? So it's an honor of Father's Day, but it's for everybody. So if you want to slip out of here and go grab some while I'm going to do announcements, feel free to. All right. So before we get started, if you can see my forehead and if you just want to know what happened was, I was body surfing, face planted in the sand. I don't want to really tell you, it was on the calmest day of the ocean. Like there were like hardly any waves. Advi was actually out in the waves. That's how calm it was. And I still managed to just plant my head right in the sand and got this nice burn. And luckily, it was right before pitchers. Yeah, you know how you always take pitchers? Yeah, so all my pitchers have this nice thing going on. But my family and I had a great time. The Smiths are still on their way back, so we're praying for safe travels for them. But it's good to be back, and I'm looking forward to preaching on Father's Day. I've got a message that I believe God wants us all to hear, and it's going to be to everybody. So would you start praying about that? Would you start praying for your hearts, for my hearts, for everybody's hearts to hear this message? And for anybody that's watching out in TV land or on the internet, we welcome you and say Happy Father's Day, and we're glad that you could join us as well. If you would you take out your bulletin, though? I just want to go over a couple quick things. Your annual reports are out there if you want to look at. I am not going to do the annual report thing. I know that you guys can read. And so I'd rather preach than go through an annual report. But it's there for you. Hey, everything that we spend money on, we're fully transparent. You can see that and check that out. You can see where your money goes if you support us, and you can see what we're doing. This is kind of a weird year with COVID and everything like that, but I'm really looking forward to this coming year and seeing where God leads us. So make sure you check out our annual report, 100% transparency. If you've got a question about anything that's in there, see me or Dawn. And we will help you out. All right, also in your bulletin are these cards. We just ordered these cards, all right? So hopefully you have one of these. It says, Willard Naz, you're invited. Sundays at 10:45. And then it has a little bit about us on the backhand side. All right, now, when I was a youth pastor, I would play this game where you could not come to youth group on friend day unless you invited somebody. So let's play that game, all right? You can't come to church next Sunday unless you invite somebody, all right? So that could backfire, right? But can I challenge you with this so seriously to give this to somebody? Don't give it to somebody that goes to church somewhere, all right? We're not trying to steal people from another church or anything like that. Give this to somebody that doesn't go to church. Hey, spouses, there are quite a few spouses who don't come. I would love for you to invite your spouse and say, maybe use the excuse, hey, this is friend day, I can't go to church unless you come with me, so I really need you to come with me. And we're going to be starting the Revelation series, so you can tell them, hey, we're starting this weird book in the Bible, and if you want to hear some crazy stories about dragons, come out to next Sunday and join us. But there should be one in your bulletin. There should be more on the side so you can take more. I hope you take them to work if you go to work and hand them out, or if you're in some club or something like that, and just pass them out and invite people to church, all right? All right. Other than that, Wednesday nights are back up. We want to remind you, especially you kids, we have groups for all ages, teens and young kids. You are more than welcome to come out 6:30, 8:30, and we have something for adults as well. So make sure you're stopping out on Wednesday nights. And then just a note of a date change, VBS will be June 28th after next Sunday, starting Monday through July 2nd from 6:30 to 8 at the park where the Depot building is off of Main Street. We're going to be right there. There's a lot of new playground equipment. We're going to have snow cones, yes, snow cones every day. There is a 6-foot giant ball. We should have had that out here today, but I wasn't going to blow it up. But make sure you come out to there and invite some kids to it, all right? So those are the things in the announcements. Hopefully you caught all that. If you didn't, just make sure you read through there. But would you stand with me? Let's pray. Father, we thank you for today. Lord, we thank you for who you are. We thank you for what you've done for us. We give you all praise. Father, let this time be directed completely to you. Lord, have your right of way during this service. Direct our paths. Lord, speak through your word to us. Lord, I pray that you'd speak through your word to the young kids when they have children's church, and I pray that you'd speak through your word and these songs directly into our hearts. Lord, prepare us. Soften our hearts. Lord, open our eyes, open our ears to hear from you. Father, help us to want to hear from you. Show us what an amazing privilege that is. Lord, we give you all praise. In your name we pray, Jesus. Amen.
I was lost, but he brought me in. Oh, his love for me. Oh, his love for me. Through the sun.
So I saw a bunch of you come in late, and I don't want you to be not able to come next week because you didn't hear about this thing. But in your bulletin, if you have a bulletin, we have these cards, and I'm gonna try and sneak out of here right before the service is over while we're praying maybe, and hand some of these to you. But we want you to invite somebody to church next week. Now, you can come if you don't invite somebody to church next week. That's just a joke. But why not invite somebody to church? All right. So would you be praying about that? Who can I invite? I'm going to take these to my work and hand them out to some people. You know, I'm going to beat Katie to the finance department. I'm nailing them before you even get there. So no, I'll let you have finance, or maybe I'll hit them too. But who can you invite to church? You don't have to give them this card, but call them up and invite them out. Like I said, we're going to be starting the Revelation series. I think it's kind of something that appeals maybe to people who don't normally go to church. They've heard about it. And we're going to see what God has to say through that series. I'm excited about that. John asked, which direction are you going with the Revelation series? There's like five directions you can go. And he says, I can't wait to criticize you. I don't know, all right? So I got the first sermon. That's it. And then we're gonna let God speak to us through that. But invite somebody out to church next week. Let's just hit this community, all right? All right. Today, I want to talk about fathers. Course on Father's Day, and something maybe a little bit different, and this sermon might be directed just at a few people, all right? I tried to make it broad, but there are a few people that I am thinking about. I don't know who these people are, but that I hope it especially speaks to you. So would you do me a favor and just be praying throughout this sermon? But anyone familiar with A.W. Tozer? Anybody know? Yeah, actually from Pennsylvania, I think, and ministered in Akron. I think he's buried in Akron from Ohio. But A.W. Tozer wrote a lot of good books. Very, very smart person. And if you're looking for some good materials, check him out. A.W. Tozer, Adrian, first name Adrian. But he said this. I have this quote from him, and I think this kind of sets up the sermon. He said this: "What comes into our minds when we think about God is the most important thing about us." What comes into our minds when we think about God is the most important thing about us. That's a pretty interesting quote if you think about it, and I think it's pretty true. All right, so what comes into your head when you think about God? Teens, what comes into your head when you think about God? For some people envision this impersonal cosmic force that doesn't have anything to do with their lives. They're just out there somewhere floating around in outer space, and really they're just hands off this world. I talked to teens. I asked teens this question long ago when I was a youth pastor, and one of the teens I remember this clear as day is that I kind of picture God as this grandpa in the sky. All right, totally irrelevant. Grandpa in the sky can't operate a smartphone or anything like that. He's a nice guy. He's got some candy for you, but he's kind of out of touch with reality. Definitely not somebody I would go to and talk to about the things that I'm dealing with in my life, the major things. For others, he might be the divine scorekeeper, right? Keeping track of what you do right, what you do wrong. He's got some thunderbolts. He's ready for a day of reckoning where he's just going to cast those onto you and beat you down when you mess up, right? He's just an angry person up there. Some see God as a heavenly butler. A heavenly butler. And I think this is how a lot of Christians view God. You go to him, we go to him when we need something, right? That's the only time we go to him. When life gets all real crazy and whacked out and we really need something, we go to God, we get him, you know, and we ask him to meet this need in some way. And then after that's done, it's, God, you can go back to doing whatever you're doing. I'm going to go back to doing whatever I'm doing until the next time, right? Until the next time I need something, and then I'll reach back out to you. We wouldn't say that. No Christian would say we think of God as a heavenly butler. But I wonder if that's how we picture him. What comes into your mind when you picture God? When you think about God? If A.W. Tozer is right, then it is of utmost importance to us to nail this down and get it right. Because it will shape us. It will shape our relationship with him. For instance, if God is that scorekeeper type God, if he's the one that just counts the misses and the mistakes, right? What is your life going to be focused on? Your life is all going to be focused on, man, I better not screw up. I better get it all right, right? And when life is going good, when I'm not screwing up, then I can approach him. But as soon as I start screwing up, then I better get away. I better kind of create some distance with him. And that's about the exact opposite of how it should be, right? How do you picture God? That is a flawed view where God is up there, you know, weighing our good things and weighing our bad things. That's what the God of Islam believes. You're weighed, right? If your good deeds outweigh your bad deeds, you get to go to heaven. If your bad deeds outweigh your good deeds, then you're destined for hell. That is a flawed view of God, and we have to get the right view of God because it impacts us in more ways than we can think of. It determines so much in our relationship with him. The great part about this, though, is that God does not leave this up to our imagination to get right, right? He provides the way. He provides the image. He tells us about him. There is no need for us to guess about him. He is not silent about himself. He's revealed himself to us after all, right? He's revealed to himself in the form of Jesus Christ. And the Bible tells us that if we've seen Jesus, then we've seen God. Again, what comes into your mind when you think about God? Maybe you're not sure. Maybe you don't have a clear picture of who God is. And I hope this today speaks to you. We have the perfect example of who God is in the form of Jesus Christ, right? When he stepped foot on this planet, people got a view. People got a physical representation to look at with Jesus Christ. And from the Word of God, we have four different camera angles to see who Jesus was and what he was like. Four different points of view from four different people. All right, we've got the close-up lens. We've got the far-up lens. We've got the roaming camera around there. Different angles of God, but we're able to see him. Who do you picture when you think about God? Not only do we have this physical description of God, not only did we get to see what he did and what he cared for and what he liked and everything about him, but Jesus also tells us about God, right? Tells us so much when he was describing God. In his description, there's one thing that he describes about God, this image of God, more than anything else. 189 times in the four Gospels, Jesus teaches this one thing for us and how we view God. And that one thing he does is he describes God as a father. A father. And I know that doesn't shock us today, but it should. It should radically shock us. It should blow our minds. And this one thing needs to be at the center of how we view God. 189 times in the four Gospels. You remember when Jesus is teaching the disciples how to pray? Do you remember how he says, hey, start off this way? He gives us the model on how to pray, and he says, you should pray what? Our Father, right? That's how we approach God. Not our Lord, not our judge, not omnipotent, mighty being, right? It's far more personal. It's our Father who art in heaven. I pointed out earlier that Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen God, right? I didn't want to spoil it, but it's really, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father, right? Because I and the Father are one. Do you have the right view of God? Do you have the right view? So many Christians, I don't think, get this. Do you remember when Jesus was getting baptized, right? Jesus comes out, starts his public ministry, or is getting ready to start his public ministry. He comes to the Jordan River, and he's baptized by John, right? And something amazing happens. The heavens open up, right? The Holy Spirit descends like a dove onto Jesus. And then there is this voice from the Father, right? Do you remember what the voice says? Did he say, here is my worker. He is going to accomplish much. No, right? Did he say, here is my servant. He's going to do everything I want him to do. No, he doesn't say that, right? What does the Father say? This is my Son, whom I love. In him I am well pleased, right? Can I go off on a tangent right here? Dads, if you are a dad, if you are a mentor of young kids, man, this is what every kid wants to hear. This is it. You're going to be a dad later, Cam. This is what your kids are going to want to hear. They want to hear their dad loves them, right? And their dad is behind them, and their dad is pleased with them. Have you ever noticed how many times you hear as a dad, Dad, watch this, right? I'm getting ready to do a cannonball in a pool, right? Dad, watch this. That's something that's hardwired into this. Dad, watch me. Kids want their dad's approval. The blessing of a father is huge in a kid's life. We crave our father's approval. We crave our father's belief in us. It's the foundation that we build from. Listen to what God the Father says again. This is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased. When does the Father say this? At what point in Jesus' life does the Father say this? Have you ever thought about that? At this time, Jesus has not walked on water. At this time, he has not performed his first public miracle. He's not changed water into wine. He's not fed the 5,000. He's not gone to the cross. He's not done any of that. This is before his public ministry starts, right? There are no recorded works. And yet, this is what God says. At a point when he has not succeeded, he said, in him, I am well pleased. Before it starts. Before he proves himself. Man, the Father just wanted everyone to know, I love my Son. Right? I am well pleased with my Son. Why? Why does he say that before? Because he's launching him out onto mission or into mission. Not in hopes of getting the blessing. He's launching him with the blessing. He's sending him out with it. In America, man, kids have to earn that. Have to earn our parents' favor. If they do right, man, they can earn that, right? But with a blessing, that's you send a kid out with that. What would happen if dads sent their kids out with blessings before they did anything? Man, you are my son. You're a Pomeranch, right? And I love you regardless of what you do. I love you. I'm proud of you. Go out. Do it. Right? You have my blessing. I'm with you. Man, I love you, right? Could you imagine if every kid had that to build from today? It would change our society. How do you picture God? Do you see him as a father? Do you see him as a father? I hope you do. Now, here's a warning, though, right? Here's the warning. If God wants you to have a relationship with you like a father and son, what is the enemy going to do? He's going to attack the relationship with your father. And that's what he's done in America. The enemy will do anything to destroy fatherhood. Do you know what this generation is called? It's the fatherless generation. That is the name of this generation. You are called the fatherless generation. And that is not by chance, my friends. That is a lie. That is straight from the pit of hell. And it's meant to destroy this nation. We want to duke it out over Republican versus Democrat, right? We want to fight over that. But guess what, man? The enemy's winning because he's making us a fatherless generation. We ain't even on the right playing field to be saving this nation. You want to save this nation, man? Be a male mentor figure. Be a father who you're called to be. Grab some kids. Man, you older people, show us how to do the fatherhood thing right, because it's hard, man. You ever feel like you're like the worst dad, screwing everything up? Yeah. Man, be that mentor to some young dads. Help us to get it right, man. This is a crazy age. If the enemy can destroy your relationship with your father, then he knows he can put a stumbling block between you and your heavenly father. Hands down, you will equate some of what you have with your father to your heavenly father. There's many different types of dads in the world today, and I don't want to be all negative, but let me point out some dads, some types of dads. First, we have the absent dad, right? When I was growing up, I grew up without a dad in a big portion of my life. I remember when he would go on drinking binges. I would remember when he would just leave us. I remember when that day came when he moved two states away. Man, I missed my dad. My dad was absent. I got to see him maybe a week at a time, maybe a couple weeks every year. I missed my dad. Some of you know what that's like. Maybe divorce has taken your dad. Maybe death has taken your dad, right? Maybe disinterest or dysfunction has taken your dad away. The absent dad is prevalent today, and it doesn't have to be. Man, I pray that if that's your case, I pray that you can reunite with your dad. I got to reunite with my dad and heal some things. Second dad is the abusive dad. Not only does this dad not bless you, he hurts you, right? He actually hurts you emotionally, physically, verbally, even some horrible way he injured you. That's a second type of dad. Third dad, performance-based dad. This dad wanted to bless you, but he told you you had to earn it, right? You had to earn it. If you could jump through this hoop or jump this high, then you could earn his blessing. Maybe you can earn that hug. Right? With this dad, everything is about sports or grades or just behaving. And don't confuse performance dad with sports dad. All right? If your dad is pushing you towards sports, that's good. I'm talking about the dad who, though, makes everything about performance. You have to earn God's love. Man, I love my kids being in sports. They strike out, I still love them. Right? They do that. There's nothing wrong with that. It's when they have to earn it, though. And they have to be good enough. If you're good enough, you'd be loved and you'll be appreciated. That's performance dad. Number four is passive dad. Passive dad might be one of the worst. Passive dad is around, but he's a non-factor. He's got nothing, man. He's not a leader. He's not there. He's not speaking into his kids' lives. He's not providing any guidance, man. Just let mom take care of everything. I'm just going to be behind the scenes not doing anything. He's not speaking into your life at all. Number five, antagonistic dad. Antagonistic dad seems like he's for you, but also seems like he's against you, right? He's chipping away and undermining you. You will not measure up with antagonistic dad. You'll never be as good as he is. It's like he's competing with you instead of encouraging you. He's standing in the way. The sixth dad is empowering dad, and I hope a lot of us in here had empowering dad. This dad's not perfect, but he loved you. And you knew it, right? He was there for you. He told you when you did good. He told you when you did bad, right? He spanked your butt or put you in timeout, whatever your parenting style is. He loved you at your best. He loved you at your worst. And he didn't just tell you. He showed you, right? He was there for you. He was dependable. Can somebody turn down the air or turn up the air? I see people waving stuff. I'm getting a little bit hot, and I was the one who turned it on. Somebody, appreciate that. I heard a pastor talk about empowering dad, all right, and how he would talk about how he would say goodnight to his three kids. The dad would go into the first room, right, and this is where his baby was, and then you'd be like, baby girl, I love you. I love you more than your brother and sister. You're my favorite. Sleep tight, all right? The other two kids heard him say this, right, but they're just smiling about it because they know their turn's coming. So he goes into the next room, and this is where his son's room is. He's like, hey, boy, you know I love you. I love you a lot more than I love your two sisters, right? I just said that to them, but I love you, man. You sleep tight, right? And then he'd go into that last room, and he'd say, sweetheart, you're my firstborn. You know I love you. I've loved you longer. I love you more than the rest of your brothers and sisters. You've always been my favorite, right? And that's what he did. Kids heard everything. Right? And they all felt lifted up because it's great to hear, first of all, that your dad loves you and that your dad puts you first. But there's also something cool about hearing that your dad loves your brothers and sisters too. Right? And you don't have to compete against your brothers and sisters. You're first. Right? You're all first in that dad's life and that father's love. In that father's love, their kids can be exactly who God created them to be. They can go out and try and fail because they know they have that base to come back to, that place to land when they crash, right? And that dad will pick them up, dust them off, and relaunch them and help them on that way. We'll figure this out. Powering dad's not a pushover, though, right? He's not passive dad with no rules or disciplines. He's going to get on you. He'll deal with that stuff because he loves you enough to get into your stuff. He loves you enough to have those awkward conversations, speak to those tough conversations. He cares enough to make it awkward. That's the dad we all want. We might not like the boundaries when we're kids growing up, right? But we need them. And probably deep down we even want them. They might complain, but deep down, kids know that they need these. This is the dad that says, one day you'll thank me for this, right? And you're like, there ain't no way I'm ever going to thank you until that one day comes. And you're like, man, thank you, Dad. That was good. What kind of father did you have? Depending on what kind of father you had, that will shape your view of God. It will impact your view of God. Working with teens, I always tried to teach them that God was like their father. And I'm going to tell you, there were more than one who said, man, if God's like my father, I don't want to have anything to do with God. That's just reality. That's just the reality of living in this broken world. Is that you today? Is that maybe how you picture God because of how your father was? Can I tell you something? God is not the reflection of your father. God is the perfection of your father. God is not just a bigger picture or a bigger version of your father. He is the perfect version of your father. He's everything you've longed for in a father. If you didn't have the best dad, he's everything you dreamed about, of having that awesome dad and way more. The psalmist says it this way in Psalm 68, beginning at verse 4. Sing praises to God and to his name. Sing loud praises to him who rides on the cloud. That's your heavenly Father riding on the clouds. His name is the Lord. Rejoice in his presence. Check this out. Verse 5, Psalm 68, verse 5. Father to the fatherless. Do we need that in the fatherless generation? Defender of widows. This is God, whose dwelling is holy. God places the lonely in families. He sets the prisoners free and gives them joy. This is our heavenly Father. Man, if you had a great dad, praise God. That is awesome. It's probably easier for you to picture this heavenly Father. If you're coming into this place, though, maybe you're wounded. Maybe you're disappointed. Maybe you were mistreated. This is your heavenly Father. This is who he is. Let this speak to you today. He is a father to the fatherless. No one has to live without a dad. You're a widow? Do you kind of feel lost at this point without that person there? Are you times that you feel helpless? He'll defend you. He's looking out for you. Are you lonely? Do you feel like you're missing out on having what other people have? I love this. Do you see what he does? He's going to give you a family. Look around. All right, we're a little weird, right? But we can be your family. This is the family that he can give you. We'll love you. Are you a prisoner? Does it just feel like you're trapped or stuck? Do you need a father to just help you get out of this? He'll set you free. And the last thing he says to these prisoners, he'll give you joy. Right? When you thought everything was over, when you thought you were stuck, when you thought they were going to throw away the key, right, with your life, he can set you free and give you joy. That's our Father. That is our heavenly Father. Amen? If you're here and you're on the fence, I don't know if I buy this whole good father thing. Can I tell you, first of all right, I love your honesty. I love it when people are honest. God loves it when people are honest. Can I give you a challenge, though? Reach out to him. Reach out to him. Tell him about your doubts. Man, I don't know if I believe this whole good father thing. I got a lot of questions, God. Listen to what Jesus says in Matthew 7, verse 7. Jesus said, "Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened. For everyone who asks receives. The one who seeks finds. And the one who knocks, the doors will be opened." Will you try this? Will you seriously try this? Will you ask? Will you seek him out? I imagine that some of you are probably not in a place where you can pray, "Father." Right? That's kind of a special term to use. And depending on what you've been through, that might be really hard for you. You might not just be there yet, right? But would you just start off with a prayer, talking to him? "God, you know, I don't know about this whole father thing. If you are a good father, will you just show me that?" Will you just pray that simple prayer and talk to him? Maybe you have a closed door in your life. Ask him to open it. "God, I've got a lot of anger that's trapping me. I'm mad, and it seems like I just can't get past this. Will you open that door and take that stuff out?" Man, I had so much anger towards my dad. So much anger. That was a door that I could not open myself. And he opened that door, and he took that stuff out. Maybe pray, "Would you open a door that allows me to just experience your presence? If you're real, show me, because I need to know if this stuff is true." Right? Is that guy up there at the pulpit crazy? Probably. But you can have those types of prayers with God. Make it real. Don't just go through the motions and fake it. I love, God makes it so simple. Hey, ask, right? Seek, knock. Those are easy things that we can all do. It's not, hey, you got to scale some kind of mountain. You've got to make this grand gesture. And if you're just good enough, maybe I'll talk back to you or I'll reveal my presence to you. No, he just says, hey, look for me. Seek me out. You'll find me. It's simple. Will you do that? It's huge. Is it really that simple? Yes, it is. Will you seek him? Will you look for him? Will you listen for him? Will you ask him to speak to you? My guess is he's probably speaking to you right now. Listen to what he has to say. Verse 9. Which of you, if your son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give gifts to those who ask him? I know some of you hear this passage and you got a stone. Right? You had a dad that gave you a stone. I needed something to eat and he gave me a snake. Man, can I just tell you, I'm sorry. I'm sorry if you had to experience that. Nobody should have to experience a dad like this, right? But that's the exception. Most dads are not like that. It's horrible if you had to experience that. That should not have been. That was wrong. That is straight from the enemy. For most of us, though, we probably can understand the truth of this verse, though, because we had parents that they might have been flawed, but they tried to do everything to give us something to eat when we needed it, right? Jesus says, if your earthly dad, who is not perfect, would give you food, how much more will your perfect heavenly Father give you what you need? Can you take the opportunity to ask him for what you need? Can you just reach out with that? Can you risk that? If he is a heavenly Father, despite what experiences you had with your earthly father, will you reach out to him? I want you to find this place. I want you to live in this place. I want you to have a breakthrough. I want you to get to experience a heavenly Father that I know. A good Father. An amazing Father. Will you seek him? Will you let him redefine what a good father is? God wants to bless you. I'm not talking about money or things. I would gladly trade money and things for time with my dad right now. Just one more conversation. That's what our Heavenly Father wants to bless you with. It's his presence. It's his time. He wants to bless you with truth. The truth that you can be his son or his daughter. He wants to give you an amazing foundation for life. To do life. C.S. Lewis disagreed with A.W. Tozer. C.S. Lewis said the fundamental thing is not how we think about God, but knowing how God thinks about us. He said it's far more important to know that. I think they're both right, right? We have to have the right view of God. We have to understand who he is. He is our Heavenly Father, but we also have to have a good view of how he views us. How does God the Father see you? When you understand how God sees you, that trumps what anybody else thinks about you. I don't care what you say, Cam. I know who I am, right? I know how the Father sees me. Aren't you hard on yourself? When you understand how God the Father sees you, it doesn't even matter what you think about you, how hard you are, because you understand how you're seen by the God of the universe. Ah, man, I'm no good. No one could love me. We know what the scripture tells us, though. You have a Father that does love you. He loves you right where you're at. Not if you do something, not if you pass out the invitation cards, right? He wants you to do that. But he loves you right where you're at. You don't need to be good enough. The Bible tells us he loved us while we were still sinners. Do you know how many Christians don't feel loved? I've read the surveys. It would shock us. It would shock us. 1 John 3, beginning at verse 1. See what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God. And that is what we are! Exclamation point. That's a great passage. It's easy to say, I love you, but God not only says it, He shows it, right? He showed it on the cross. On the cross, He showed there was nothing He wasn't willing to do to get us back. On the cross, He showed us that He'll break down any wall for us. He'll climb any hill for us. He'll run through any darkness for us. He'll pay any price to show how great a love the Father has lavished on us so that we should become children of God. And that's what we are! Exclamation point. Sometimes Christians have this incomplete view of salvation. Salvation is not about getting a ticket to heaven. That happens. But it's not about that. It's not about looking forward to one day going to heaven. You're stuck on this broken planet in this whatever backwater place that we live in until you die. That's not what it's about, right? That's not the focus. The focus of salvation is about a restored relationship with God right now. We are born again, and we're adopted in as His sons and daughters. Amen? I hope you had a good dad, because it makes it easy to see this, or easier to see this. I hope if you didn't have a good dad, you test Him. You reach out to Him. You seek and you knock. I hope that if you had a particularly painful dad, I hope you're able to just get into His presence. When I was in high school, I went out toilet papering with my friends. We were doing Nancy Schneider's house. Anybody know Nancy Schneider? Yeah, he had a son. She has a son that's my age. While we were doing it, she came out and caught us. Started yelling at us. We took off 4 different directions. I am huffing and puffing, flying like as fast as I can, darting in and out of people's yards. And all of a sudden, I woke up on my back. I'm like stunned. I don't know how long I was out. All right, my face hurts. I feel something warm running down it. I reach for my glasses. They're not there. I start to get my senses back. I'm like, what in the world just happened? Here I got clotheslined. Literally clotheslined by a clothesline. All right, and I've got this gash on the ridge of my nose where luckily I had glasses on, because if it didn't, I don't know what would have happened. Probably cut my head off. All right. But this huge gash on my nose. I went home, and my mom's looking at it, and she's like, I think we need to go to the doctor. I'm like, heck no. I know what that means, stitches, right? I'm like, heck no, let's just bandage it up and see how it looks in the morning. All right? So I hear I got these glasses that are all scratched up. All right? I got this huge gash on my nose. Should have went to the doctor. All right? And we put this bandage on it, you know, and I go to school and everything like that. I had to keep that bandage on it in order to rest my glasses on there. And here's what I discovered. That wound would not heal if I kept it covered. It just wouldn't heal right. I mean, weeks there cleaning it, trying to fix it, get it to go. But it just wouldn't heal because that oxygen and that everything wouldn't get to it. And I finally took that off and quit wearing my glasses over the weekend, and then it finally started to heal. My friends, there might be a few of you in here that have had some real painful things with your dad or in life. And the easy thing to do is just to keep it covered. You got to take the bandage off. You got to come to the foot of the cross and reach out to your Savior. Do you know why you come to the foot of the cross? Because you know He's true, and he's right there. Because that's the place where he died for you. That's the place that you know you can trust him. That's the place that says, by his wounds, we were healed. The God of the universe was gashed for you, was beaten. He died for you there. You can go there, take the Band-Aid off, and let him change your life. Let him restore that. Let him reach out to you. That's the place to be honest with him. I don't know if you're real. Show me. I don't know if he can do anything. Show me. I'm reaching out for you. I'm seeking you. Will you just touch me? I guarantee if you do that, he'll meet you there. He'll meet you there. That's my challenge for you. For the few, maybe you had a rough life. My second challenge is, would you let us be your family? We're weird, right? I've told people, if you're Nazarene, you got to be weird, right? But we're here for you. We love you. We want to speak into your lives. We want to love on you. God says he'll give the lonely a family. Amen? Amen. Would you stand with me? How do you view God? Is he the dictator? Is he the guy with the lightning bolts? Is he the candy machine? Is he Santa? Or is he your heavenly Father who'll whoop your butt when you need it, right? But he'll always be there for you. A father to the fatherless. Seek him out. Seek him out as a father. That's what Jesus taught 189 times. That's who God is. That's why we call him the Father. He's there for you if you'll seek him. He's pursuing after you. Will you stop and let him catch up? Would you open up your hearts to him? Amen. Father, we thank you for today. Lord, I pray that if there's somebody in here right now that doesn't know you, Lord, I pray that they would seek, they would knock, Lord, and that they would invite you into their lives. Lord, if there's somebody who's like, man, it just seems phony, if it doesn't seem real, Lord, would you show them right now that you still love them and you got time? But help them to reach out. Help them to seek you out, Lord. Help them to give you a chance to do those things. Father, I pray if there's people in here that are lonely, that you'd let us be the church family to them, Lord. Father, would you light us on fire? For those of us who do know you as a heavenly Father, as a good, loving Father, would you help us to go after your other children and to be a part of bringing them into your presence? Lord, give us opportunities. Give us opportunities to be a family, to reach out, to be used by you, Lord. Use us. Use this church. Make it our priority to reach those who don't know you. Lord, Father, I pray for the people in here who may have had some rough childhoods. Father, would you touch their hearts and heal them? Would you remove the anger? Would you remove the pain? Lord, I know they're going to have scars. But Father, would you remind them of what those scars represent? A healing, something that you did in their lives. Lord, be in their life. Reveal yourself in a mighty way to them. Lord, we love you and we give you all praise. In your name we pray, Jesus. Amen. Don't forget to invite somebody next Saturday. I'm going to beach out there.